Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Lightning Dogs, the official podcast presented by the Nerdist Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdist Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdistshow.com. Lightning Dogs is conceived as an all-ages property. But these behind-the-scenes conversations are not all ages. So listen at your own discretion, baby. Woo!
Sometimes a great idea is truly like a bolt of lightning. And sometimes, if you're lucky enough, you can capture the exact moment that it strikes. That's what happened for us one fateful night while recording an episode of Nerdy Show. We accidentally launched a concept that derailed the entire show and, in no time, our lives. We couldn't stop talking about our favorite action figures in B-movies while twisting them into strange creatures. Weird adventures, and dog puns. Lots of dog puns. This is the story of Lightning Dogs, a journey steeped in the glory of 80s and 90s animation, where anthropomorphic dogs tear through the wasteland of a ruined Earth, battling mutants, miscreants, and the evil Glampire. Coming soon to small screens, comic books, and podcasts. Or at least that's the goal. But how do you go from a crazy idea into a fully formed world of conflict and characters? How does a harebrained discussion become an animated series? That's what we're finding out firsthand. We've recorded the entire development of Lightning Dog since day one, from the moment of conception to every world-building session and planning meeting. And the journey is still ongoing. Tune in as we create the world of Lightning Dogs live. Welcome to Lightning Dogs. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Tony.
And today we're doing another Lightning Dogs art stream as we continue on our journey towards a completed pitch Bible where we're going to need at least, some forward-facing shots of our main cast.
At least.
At least is right. This is the second of 10 draw stream sessions dedicated to creating final character designs for the Lightning Dogs, as well as their nemesis, Glampire and Halloween Jack. In these sessions, Doug and I virtually peer over Tony's shoulder as he draws, and we make suggestions while tackling other doggy discussions. These very visual episodes come to you in two formats: this annotated podcast format and the original unedited video, which you can watch on YouTube.
You'll see that we were not simply pausing awkwardly because we had nothing to say, but because I was being fascinating, which is a very unique experience for me. One of these days, I'm going to stop using quite as much self-deprecating humor. One of these days. I don't know when that's going to be.
I think using less self-deprecating humor might up the Tony stock. If you stop accepting that that's acceptable, then everyone else will stop accepting how acceptable it is to emphasize that.
Hashtag suddenly better with Tony.
Tony, let's do Kane Corso today.
Yeah.
Okay.
We led with our main dingo.
Yeah.
The logical thing to do would be Angela today. You've drawn a lot of Angela. Let's do somebody that you've maybe drawn a handful of times at best.
Okay.
Also someone from definite B team, the non-soldier.
Kane visually is pretty interesting to me because we're channeling a lot with him. We're channeling like a Eurotrash vibe. We've used Boris from GoldenEye as a reference at one point, though he's a much younger character, obviously. And when we really started to figure out what he looked like visually, one of the earliest things that I sketched that I really attached to was having the look of a late 70s, early 80s businessman, sort of, but with a little bit of a futuristic edge, which kind of led me to Eldon Terrell from Blade Runner. And there's not a lot about Terrell that I would say is reflected in Kane, though perhaps his demeanor, his sort of arrogance and confidence that he has, and then also his crazy glasses.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got huge fucking glasses, and Kane's can be a bit cooler and don't necessarily need to magnify as extremely as Eldon Terrell's do, but I feel like that look is something worth holding on to. It's not something you see much anymore these days.
It should be a definite fashion statement as opposed to understated scientist glasses, is what you're saying?
Yeah. I feel like he could easily fall into that trap of he's the scientist, so he wears the glasses. But that's not the thing. Like, for him, it's like because he looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was always drawn kind of boxy because Cane Corso dogs are kind of muscular and box-shaped.
Broad.
Yeah. I guess if he had glasses that reflected that, then it kind of makes sense.
All right, do we like this body shape for Kane?
I think this generally makes sense for his body shape. I feel like if you'd see him from the side, he might read as a little bit more barrel-chested, but from the front, this makes sense.
Yeah, a little barrel-chested, but he's not an athlete. Like, he couldn't take Dingo in a fight.
But he might easily take someone who's untrained in a fight.
Yeah, because he does, I'm sure he does care about his health. He cares about his image.
Right, because Belloc could take a punch, just not a great punch.
Yeah, and he's vain, too, you know? So it's like he would care very much about how he looks. I do think he needs to be charismatic, and I'd say handsome.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
haven't gotten to that part yet.
Right. I'm just throwing out these things because if he wasn't such a dick, you know, he'd be a hero.
I don't know what to make of his crazy ankles.
I like director pants. What do you call those anyway?
That was just something that kind of came out in the sketch. It wasn't intentional necessarily.
Hey, Tony's working on the head right now. And we got the hair. It's slicked back. It's been slicked back in a lot of iterations, which I like. Now, what do you think about the spit curl?
I kind of like it because it's Superman-esque. Something familiar yet stereotypically heroic. I really like the idea of him looking like he would be a hero of his own story, but yet his attitude betrays him. You give him a cigarette or something?
Oh, yeah.
What's something a dog would smoke that's not tobacco? I was about to say grass, but to say smoke grass suggests marijuana. But I meant like lawn grass because dogs will eat lawn grass in order to throw up, make themselves sick.
I can only assume that whatever they'd smoke would be some degree of tobacco equivalent on Dog Planet. Would Domus have developed the same kind of abusive aspects that, say, the cigarette companies of Earth created, of creating addictive properties in something that otherwise didn't have as many? I couldn't say.
He just smokes opium.
Wouldn't put it past him.
Kane, you smoke opium? Isn't that bad for you? Yeah. Well, why do you do it? Because I have to deal with you people.
There are many things that are bad for me, not the least of which listening to your prattering.
You know what? Because we talked before about he's got like the Belloc Indiana Jones influence. I would dare say a little Nathan Drake in there. Like, in terms of his look for when he's out in the wasteland.
Out adventuring.
Yeah. A little Nathan Drake, but yet when he's in Brutus or he's in the main labs, he'd have his lab coat on, you know?
I'm kind of going just with his basic adventuring outfit at this point.
Yeah.
The Cane Corso dog is a pretty rough and ready, intense-looking dog. And I found this, it was the first photo that came up when I searched Cane Corso now, this is a photo that I believe was not online when we first found this breed and picked it out for Cane Corso. But this is great. I would Photoshop this image. I would put glasses over this dog and stick him in coming out of a trench coat, and I'd be like, and that's him. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, that image is, I know what I need to do with his eyes now. This motherfucker needs to look tired just all the time.
And these dogs look so intense. They got like the black Cane Corsos, like all these pictures I'm seeing, they've got the sleekest, most like muscular coats. It's got to be one of the toughest looking dogs, except when they're puppies. Then the only thing they punch you in the face with is how adorable they are.
We won't be linking to pictures of Cane Corso puppies. You can do that on your own time. But
On this episode's page, we will link to the specific striking Kane Corso photo I showed everyone.
Can you guys think of a time in a Saturday morning cartoon show from the 80s, or, I mean, definitely not the 90s, but sometime when someone smoked in an episode that wasn't PSA-oriented? When did they put the kibosh on that?
Probably in the early 90s. I mean, the only one character I remember is Bullock from Batman, but he had a toothpick. He didn't really smoke, but it was very much just, even as an adult and I look back, I'm like, did he smoke? Oh, no, wait, it was a toothpick. Like, you just picture him smoking, even though it was totally a toothpick.
And sometimes, just for no reason, he'd kind of be done with it and he'd flick it away.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that toothpick? Nothing, commish.
For Kane Corso, instead of a cigarette, because we can't, because the kids, and we can't do a toothpick because that's just straight up stealing from Batman, what if he's just chewing on the dog equivalent of a Slim Jim? it's like a little treat, you know, it's like a doggy treat. You just chew on it and little beef jerky juices come out.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
It's a lot like how, I guess I'm thinking of from Aliens, Sergeant Apone. He would chew on his cigar, you know?
Yeah.
And it was kind of rude, but yet not, you know what I mean? Like, that could be something. Because it's not quite chewing tobacco and not quite a cigarette, but yet it's both at the same time.
It's something that you might either find gross or attractive, depending on who you were.
Yeah.
Which is something that I think weirdly goes hand in hand with the Eurotrash stereotype. I don't know how far we want to pursue that, but I do like it. And by that, I mean the oral fixation solution, and if we want to make it not a cigarette.
Especially if it's like a beef jerky type thing, where it's like something you could make in the wasteland. Dingo and Pierre, they got their bacon cheeseburgers, where he's like, that shit'll make you fat. It's like, what do you want? You eat that garbage. It's like, you know, it's like, just take a good piece of meat, turn it into jerky, it'll last forever. You're out in the wasteland, you're out camping, because this dude's been camping and stuff. Like, he's an archaeologist, you know?
Yeah, he's in the field. Now, what we got here was, Tony's working on Kane's feet right now, and I think what I'm seeing here is plain shoes and trousers.
I took this to be like hiking boots, but with the trousers just over the ankles.
What are you thinking, Tony?
I am thinking with the idea of him still being kind of fashion conscious, because tagging back to people like Belloc and people like Nathan Drake, they represent two different sides of the same thing. Belloc, especially when he showed up at the beginning of Raiders, he didn't look like he belonged to the jungle, but he adapted just the same. And I feel like Kane could do the same thing. So I was trying to think of a way of showing some sort of trouser that is not a jean that still looks somewhat fashionable. And in keeping with the sort of lines that we've been putting in with the other stuff, I wanted to make sure that these felt suitably futuristic while still being, I don't know, kind of fashionable.
That look more casual than, say, what the soldiers would wear, too.
Exactly.
Right now, he's got a really low cuff on his pants. I feel like it may need to be raised because it just in the practicality of being in the field.
Yeah, if we're doing his adventure gear, we'd probably have to raise it up. But like for him being in the lab, and that's for sure, he's definitely wearing nicer pants.
Yeah. What if he's got like a little like monogram cigarette holder, but it's just full of jerky?
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Like candy cigarettes, except it's just bubblegum for kids. It's just the Kane Corso's like little stash. That's a man right there. And that dude, I just realized that the Slim Jim thing, that's basically begging strips. Like that's, mm-hmm. We always wanted to know, like, what about the begging strip angle, you know? And I was like, well, bacon on a cheeseburger, but that was never quite, this is a doggy treat.
It also does kind of tag back to his fixation on master culture.
Yeah. And like how they're, you know, they're masters, they're above, you know, and this is his treat.
I really don't think that aspect is going to come into play.
No, but I like it.
No, it's not, but
no one's going to put that
works
together. Yeah, I just like knowing that it's there.
Kane Corso is good dog. I don't know why he's Russian, though.
I mean, he's one of those characters, we will not have any idea what this fella sounds like until we get somebody in the room who does something we don't expect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question we got asked recently, actually. Big Bad Shadow Man's been doing a great job on the forums of hitting us up with one thought-provoking question a week.
Sometimes I feel like he asks more questions about this universe than we do.
Well, he doesn't know as much as we know, so it stands to reason.
Big Bad Shadow Man, who we've mentioned before, is a longtime supporter of Lightning Dogs, and he's been an amazing force for keeping the fire lit and the public discussion about the world ongoing, often provoking us to consider aspects of the project we hadn't considered at all, or at the very least gotten around to yet. At this point in the timeline, Lightning Dogs was still behind closed doors, with only a few episodes released. Understandably, fans had a lot of questions about the world and the project, which we were happy to answer, but so much had happened between this recording and the episode called Lightning Dogs Play Dead that sometimes it was hard to even keep up with what we had or hadn't said.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
There's a lot we haven't had the opportunity to show yet, and it's killing me. It's soon, you know. As of this recording, we have a plan of attack. But anyway, to that end, one of the questions he asked recently was in regards to our plans for voice acting and how we were going to handle that. And I can't recall the last time we spoke about this on the show. But as of right now, I mean, obviously we have a lot of steps to get to before it, but when it is time to voice cast, we're going to dig into everybody in the Nerdy Show Network who has an interest in voice casting, who has an availability. Ideally, they'd be some of our Orlando cast members so we could get them in the studio, but we do have a number of cast members who have quality mics at their homes, and you know, obviously they know enough about recording to be doing a podcast. So
some of them are even chomping at the bit, so to speak.
Something that should be noted here to add additional time frame context is that as far as the fans knew, the next thing we were doing was Lightning Dogs as an audio drama. So casting for that was much less a blue sky question than, say, casting for a professional animation project. We'd be self-producing, and obviously pulling talent from within the Nerdy Show Network would be the smart move. If we're working within a studio system for an animated series and have a casting director, that's a different story. But to the point of the audio drama, at the time of this recording, we hadn't given up on the idea of doing Lightning Dogs audio stories of some kind. And it's still something that could happen. I mean, the last thing we want to do is have completed scripts in hand and not share them in an awesome way. But how that could materialize really depends on where the project ends up when that time comes. There's a big difference between assembling a small cast to make a script read sound exciting and investing the time and money into launching a big-scale audio drama series. So, here's the rest of that discussion to showcase where our heads were at when considering what it would realistically take to cast a full Lightning Dogs audio drama production.
We know for a fact that there's many characters, including many core cast members, who simply are not going to find appropriate voices within the cast. I assume that we're going to be surprised at times, but we are fully prepared to take our search outside and hit up the Orlando Craigslist and find some people. But it's tough because it's kind of new territory for us. There's absolutely going to need to be contracts. There's going to need to be paychecks. And will we just be doing a pilot, you know, with intentions of picking it up at a later time? And how are people's, you know, schedules going to pan out, especially for people who are just meeting for this project? There's a lot of new stuff to deal with and a certain learning curve for us who all have a rudimentary understanding of the animation industry, but who've never actively participated in it before.
Something else that's somewhat interesting that I'm looking at here in the Kane Corso image that you would link, Cap.
Uh-huh.
The Corso is it seems to be a dog that either has a very short tail or a docked tail, which leads to this other interesting thing that will probably never come up in the show, but it's something that I am considering. It gives his humanoid physicality a very close resemblance to those he worships. He is closest to dog god.
I see a lot of other images where he's got a full tail, though.
The sketch that I done did find on the thing that Cap linked did not have a tail.
No, I hear you. No, because I'm seeing it, too. I'm seeing other ones where it's basically really short or almost non-existent. But there's also long ones, too. So do you think people do that? Or like...
This had not crossed my mind at all, but I'm on a page right now. actually, it's a website called abouttimecanecorso.com, and it's a whole document about ear cropping and tail docking, and apparently that's a thing. And oh my God, you guys, like the whole Cane Corso thing and his religion, it goes so much farther now. This
We're
is
talking
like,
circumcision,
it,
basically.
It was there all along. Traditionally, like his ears are cropped, his tail
that,
is docked.
The tip of that tail.
Yeah, man. Oh my God, it's like that's fucked up, man. Can you imagine? Especially if it was a ceremony that wasn't necessarily done like as a pup, but like some like coming of age ceremony where it had to be done to him, and he was really aware
Jesus.
Of it.
Oh,
like,
I feel so bad for him.
And that's probably what should happen because you know if we want to make him as angry as possible,
hate the masters. Yeah. Like, fear them and hate them, but yet want to be better. I'd say it's complicated, but in a good way. It's like his feelings are complex.
Because a Cane Corso straight up has floppy ears if they're not cropped. Like, that whole pointy thing that Tony's just drawn, I had no idea. It didn't
contributes to why he wants to worry about how he looks, you know?
There is a section called Practical and Functional Reasons for Cropping Ears, though that might be as full of shit as Practical and Functional Reasons for Circumcision.
The subtitle to About Time Cane Corso Italiano is, in a world of ordinary and conventional, only the most distinctive will ever leave a truly lasting impression.
that's like the character's catchphrase.
Yeah, that's like something he would say.
Yeah.
That's funny. This is great.
All right, what do we think?
Sorry, I've been reading about tail docking.
No, I'm digging I'm digging this. Yeah. This look is great.
Tony, can you zoom in on the face, please?
Are we too weathered?
No, not at all. I would actually like to see what happens if there's an increased jowl detail. He's got the look down, like that's the character, but I'm curious if we can give him more a semblance to the breed itself and a nose that's less of a dot and has more of the... I don't remember what we did with dingoes. Maybe I'm violating our unwritten style guide right now, but...
Well, giving him that square jaw like Tony's doing now, I think is going to do a big, big help to distinguish him from dingo because he needs to look powerful,
yeah,
even though he's not super muscular. Like, he's got good bone structure, you know? He's something that's, like, traditionally masculine, traditionally handsome, but you're like, God, this guy's a dick. It's just like, he just won't stop. I keep giving him chances, you know, is the idea.
He looks like a Tom Strong. Who's the... Tony, who's the character whose name starts with Doc and isn't strange?
Savage.
Yeah, Doc Savage.
Doc Savage. And you know what? You know why that fits so fucking well?
Because he's
every
doctor?
Character that we have listed... in reference to Cane Corso, for the most part, is some sort of a pulp archaeologist action hero.
Yeah.
So is Doc Savage.
Yeah, like the original.
Right there with the Shadow and the Phantom.
Yeah, those guys he used to hang around with back on Domus and all those adventures. There's that mysterious guy in the museum haunting, and then also the weird dude out in the jungle with all the skull rings. All these crazy guys that Cane Corso palled around with before getting involved with the Lightning Dogs.
It's funny, you say that as a gaffe, Cap, but I could absolutely see that happening.
That was, Tony, that was a half joke.
No, that's the thing. You could do it. In a perfect world, each of these characters would have their own comic miniseries leading up to before. And what's Cane Corso's thing is just pulp adventure, you know?
I think we can go shorter on the jerky, probably. It reads a little weird being that long. It's almost like, why would that character have one of those Cruella de Vil cigarette holders?
But at the same, I almost picture him having one of those. It doesn't seem that character for him. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but...
That'd be a little too close to Dr. Strangelove at that point.
That was, let's say his aunt used to have them, and she used to put out jerky on his wrists.
And his wrists
would
get sticky.
Why would you burn jerky? Brings a whole new definition of the term smoked meats.
And she just says with her mouth, you're like, why did you do that?
Because she was crazy.
Let's say this is a tactical turtleneck.
Oh yeah, shoot, what the hell are those sweaters that have like the not the patches on the shoulders but like hold on, I gotta find it.
Those military sweaters that kind of the like a members only kind of like hook thing on
yeah Tony's getting it, yeah, and they usually have like a little
little loop from the top shoulder to the
like the button flap that would keep something like that bandolier thing in place.
Oh, that's what they're for.
Well, that's what I'm guessing what they're for, because I'm looking at
I've
a shoulder.
I've always wondered what that was for.
How do you guys think that looks?
Now, that's a tactical turtleneck right there.
Tactical turtleneck, cowabunga!
Remember the original profile cards in the back of the Ninja Turtle action figures? They'd have all kinds of superfluous details, and everything would practically be a TM kind of, like, tactical turtleneck TM. everything would be named, every aspect of the character, every weird gizmo. Yeah. I'm sold. The only thing that I have question about is the pants and the, I don't know, hexagonal patch there. We might be able to do something else with that, but all in all, the whole vibe is 100% correct. Like, that's King Corso. No doubt about it.
I love the gloves, too.
You can see the finished artwork from this session linked on this episode's page. Like the prior Dingo draw stream, this is a turnaround, though really it's just the front-facing part of one, and then just the line art. We expected to do more with it, but as time drew on, we realized what we needed more immediately was not animation-style turnarounds, but character key art, so that when the Lightning Dogs were redebuted to the public, we'd have all the characters ready to be unveiled. With near-final designs in place for Kane and Dingo, we went back to the drawing board, and from here on out, these drawstream episodes we're doing have the same process, but without the stiff poses needed for turnarounds. In our next episode, we shift away from the main cast of characters and once again veer sharply into the weird world of the Wasteland with two episodes of new characters and concepts. After that, our next drawstream is Nerissa and Beasthound. And if you want to see that video, along with all the other character design drawstreams, you can do that right now. The remaining 8 sessions are available as early releases for everyone supporting us through Patreon. Head to patreon.com/lightningdogs, sign up, click posts, and then just click the video tag, and you'll see all of them. Now, Patreon is going through some stuff right now. Up until now, the creators have sucked up the transaction fees whenever patrons are charged, as it should be. That way, the price you're paying is always clear. Unfortunately, without warning, they've now changed things so that you, the patrons, are being charged these fees. If you're giving a dollar, it's now actually $1.38. We hate this, we think it's bullshit, and to make matters worse, the process overall actually penalizes people who give small amounts to a number of creators. For example, if you're paying $20 a month to one creator, you're not paying nearly as much as if you were paying $1 to 20 creators. It's a mess, and we're not the only ones who are mad about it. Patreon has become an ecosystem that creators depend on, one that we built the future of Lightning Dogs around. Like many people, we're hoping that this very public outrage will translate to Patreon turning back the clock on this policy, and we'll keep you posted with what happens and how it affects the future of Lightning Dogs and the Nerdy Show Network. For the moment, our best option is to stay. We need these funds to keep this project going. As it stands, we're teetering on the edge of staying afloat at our first milestone, $200, to make sure that we have enough funds to pay for basic expenses and occasional freelancer art. But we can't stress enough, if you feel you need to go, we do understand. This is a situation that none of us should have been put in, and the problem rests squarely with Patreon. We only ask that if you do go, please make sure that on your exit survey, you make it clear that it's because of Patreon's new rates. There are other ways you can support Lightning Dogs. For example, picking up a Lightning Dogs sketchbook, a 30-page collection of our favorite concept art so far. We've also got Lightning Dogs t-shirts featuring the team emblem, but now, winter's come, and we have long-sleeve shirts too. You can find all of that at nerdyshow.com/store. Being that it's the holiday season, you're probably shopping on Amazon, and if you do, you can shop through Nerdy Show's Amazon links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon. And anything you buy, we'll give back in part to us. There's also ways to support Lightning Dogs that are totally free, for example, rating and reviewing us on iTunes or Podchaser. We desperately need more reviews on both, so if you love this show, please take a moment and spread the word, like this awesome person did. This is an iTunes review called Howl of Inspiration by Your Fur. This year, I went to Megaplex and saw the booth they had, not knowing what Lightning Dogs was. Being a relatively new artist on the scene, I was enamored by the folks running the booth. I saw the love and hope in their eyes and was really sad that I couldn't buy a concept book or even go to the panel later on that day. I started listening to the podcast and it really helped me with my own comic world building. It's doggone filled with puns and joy. I really love listening to these when I'm drawing and I'm definitely referring them to my friends. Nice one. Keep your noses to the ground and I'll look forward to the future. Thanks, Your Fur. Thanks a lot. We loved meeting new people at Megaplex, and I'm happy to say that our next con appearance is lined up. March 17th through 18th will be in Raleigh for North Carolina Comic-Con Oak City. I went this year and ran some awesome panels. You can expect I'll be doing the same again in 2018. But this time around, Lightning Dogs will have a booth and some anthropomorphic animal synergy because Kevin Eastman co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is going to be there. Come out and see us. But in the short term, we'll see you in another 2 weeks with a heaping helping of Wasteland Weirdness. In the meantime, be sure to sniff us out on your favorite social platforms. And I'll see you on another episode of Lightning Dogs, the official podcast. Oh!
Grandmama, why have you done this to me? I am your son. Because you are stupid, Kane. You do not understand what Grandmama is. You are not my son.
Hashtag all noise.
Hashtag all noise.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.